you know, kind of that in his memory and the family and folk memory, he had direct access to or direct experience of some of the most oppressive aspects of the old Russian Empire. And thus you have this extraordinary, he takes us right through to the Potsdam Conference at the end of the Second World War, the Yalta and Tehran conferences where Stalin is carving up the world with Churchill and Roosevelt. And he, you know, makes a point of this extraordinary aspect of it. You know, you have Churchill on the one hand, who's the descendant of the Duke of Marlborough, was born in Blenheim Palace, this astonishingly colorful and flamboyant British aristocrat, and this taciturn, cunning son of serfs, elevated both to the same position. And so in that very basic sense, and Deutsche stresses this, you know, Stalin was a beneficiary of the enormous social mobility that was opened up by the revolution. Deutsche talks about the contrast between Stalin and the other Bolshevik leaders to make clear his distinctiveness by contrast with the others. A man of Lenin's genius might have become a great national leader in any time. Trotsky was a man of letters of the highest repute. A Kamenev, a Lunacharsky, or a Bukharin could have risen to high standing in the academic world. All were highly gifted orators or writers, thinkers with great elan, imagination, and originality, which they showed at a surprisingly early age. Young Djugashvili, Stalin's original Georgian name before he changed it to a party name, had plenty of acumen and common sense, but imagination and originality were not his characteristics. He could lecture coherently on socialism to small circles of workers, but he was no orator. Nor, as time was to show, was he a brilliant writer. In caste-ridden official Russia, the son of Georgian peasants could not climb high on the social ladder, even with much ambition, pertinacity, and good luck. In the church, he would at best have become another Abizhadze. Circumstances inevitably bred in him a certain sense of inferiority, of which he would not rid himself even in the socialist underground. Again, Deutsche stresses, which is stressed by many of Stalin's biographers, his experience as being educated in the Orthodox seminary, which Stalin's mother did her best to ensure her son would have an education. And what Deutsche takes from it is that it impacted his thought throughout his life, because he says right to the end, you can see the impact of a certain strain of apocalyptic thinking and Manichaean thinking that comes from being drilled in the Bible, and that you can see the way in which he constructs certain kind of political scenarios right late into his life, that it's kind of a mix of the Communist Manifesto along with catechism, you know, taken from the Orthodox seminary.
Just a question on this, because I guess one thing which is often come through in kind of histories or portrayals in that time is that the beneficiaries of the French Revolution who became Napoleon's army, they were very, very committed. They saw their merit being recognized, and it took them places socially they could not otherwise have gone, so it made them very ardent supporters of the French Revolution tradition. I mean, is this something that Deutsche kind of observes in Stalin? Because I think the kind of maybe the popular picture is that he was too cynical. Like, maybe he believed in the revolution, but probably he didn't. He just kind of wanted to get somewhere.
Deutsche, again, to his credit as a biographer, his ability to be objective despite the fact that he was a dissident and an anti-Stalinist, he makes clear that he thinks Stalin was sincere. And also he makes the point about the social mobility to indicate that you cannot understand the fact that the regime survived the lacerations of the terror and the destabilization of the famine during the 1930s unless you understand the fact that it still had solid bases of support. And part of this solid base of support was the fact that it opened up opportunities for a nation going through industrialization.
Hi there, friends. This is the end of a sample from an episode available only to subscribers at patreon.com/bungacast. For $7 a month, subscribers get at least 4 original exclusive episodes a month, featuring Alex, George, and Phil, as well as our regular contributors, Alex Gurevich, Amberly Frost, Catherine New, and Lee Phillips. We've got episodes on current affairs, extended interviews, exclusive episodes on theory, history, culture, docuseries, analyses of film, and our responses to listeners' questions and criticisms. And for $12 a month, you also get access to the very special BungaCast Reading Club, where we present the key books and essays necessary for understanding the world today, how we got here, and where we might be going. Of course, if you just want to try us out, there's also a $3 entry tier giving you one exclusive episode a month. We do hope you'll join us. These are turbulent times, and ideologically confused ones as well. We tried to find some political clarity so that we might move beyond the age of Bunga Bunga.